Hello, I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is Friday, May 10th, 2024, and our catechesis continues today in the book of Acts. Yesterday we had Christ's ascension. Today we have Peter's choice of Matthias to replace Judas. Or is it the Lord's choice? Well, maybe ask that question, huh? Yeah, Edward and, who else likes their alleluias? Dorothy does too. So they can sing their alleluias together. Good, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right. Let's pray the beginning of the psalm. Well, yeah, let's do that. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, let's say our memory verse for the week. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Psalm 110, verse 1. All right. Catechism, table of duties to parents. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And then to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Our first reading is from Isaiah 52. This is a text that we always hear at ordinations and installations of the pastoral office or the apostolic office. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices, with their voices they shall sing together. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Okay, and then our reading for catechesis is from the book of Acts, chapter 1. As we heard yesterday, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akel Dama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay, so how many believers altogether are gathered? We didn't hear this yesterday. We had the 11 plus the women and Mary and the other brothers. And I think here, you don't want to think blood brethren. You want to think of brethren, you know, like the fellow brothers in Christ. I know we're not a big fan of gendered language anymore in our culture, but here to be a brother of Jesus is to share in the inheritance of Jesus. So we all want to be brothers in Christ. But of course, we've added the gender neutral and brothers and sisters, as if it didn't include women before. So brethren, I like the old English on that one, because it's a little less obvious that we're talking in non-gender language. Okay, in any case, it's still gendered. Brothers, inheritors with Jesus. And Peter tells us why Judas betrayed Jesus. Well, that the Holy Spirit had spoken before and that the scripture might be fulfilled. David prophesied this in the Psalms, and you might think of Psalm 22. He was dipped his hand with me has betrayed me, right? Psalm 41, right? Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. All right. What does it mean that when it says that Judas fell headlong? You can borrow from the Gospels on this one too. Falling headlong is a way of saying that he hung himself, right? And why did his body burst open and his intestines spill out? Okay, this is a sign of judgment. And you might think here of the judgment that Paul declares for those who eat and drink of Christ's body and blood in the supper unworthily, that is outside of faith, is it will be received to their judgment. So certainly Judas had received of the cup without faith, and thus it brings judgment upon him. But of course, also connected to the field of blood and the spilling of the intestines is like the spilling of Abel's blood under Cain, Akeldama. All right, now Peter seems to have understood Jesus correctly and saying we search the scriptures to guide our faith and life. It's the sole rule or a norm for faith and life, as we confess. God's word is. So, two psalms. Psalm 69, let his dwelling place be desolate and let no one live in it. And then also Psalm 109, let another take his office. I think if you go and look at the context of these, I'll spare you that today. But if you go look at Psalm 69 and 109, I don't think Peter is applying these scriptures accurately. Now remember, what were they supposed to be doing here? They were supposed to be remaining in Jerusalem and waiting for the gift of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that they hadn't heard God's word and they didn't have the Holy Spirit, but the unique apostolic gifts are going to be given with the Spirit on Pentecost. And this is in that intermediate time. So you don't have to agree with me on this. Some pastors don't. Actually, probably majority don't. I don't know. That this calling of Matthias was done out of order. That doesn't mean the Lord can't bless it, but this is why he calls Paul, all right, or Saul, and then later known as Paul, is that Paul is the replacement for Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, and then Jesus takes the betrayer and makes him an apostle. So you see the reversal of Judas in Saul, right? And of course, Saul is the greatest opponent to the church up to that point. And of course, as I said, Jesus has not instructed Peter to fulfill the office. I know. We only have 11. We got to have 12. You know, it's like, we got to fill the office. This is a similar caution that I would make to congregational leadership. There's a certain necessity for legal operation that we fill the four main offices of the church. So that's president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary. Those are necessary under Wisconsin corporate law. Okay. So because we're incorporated, nonprofit corporation. So we fill those offices. We don't have to have all the other offices filled. And as a matter of fact, our Constitution was rewritten to allow for people to come and go. The duties need to be carried out, but as to the number of people and particular offices to fill by human ordination, we've eliminated that here. And it's only necessary that we have those four lay offices for the sake of corporate leadership and then the pastoral office. Everything else is for the benefit of faith and life, of course, but isn't necessary and can be entered into and left, all right? Because we have no clear word of God of command for everything else, okay? Same thing here. So without a word from the Lord, there was no command. Ah, but I see the beauty of making sure we have 12, right? The Lord Jesus was going to fill Judas's office. All right. Peter, though, does have some helpful criteria, and that criteria is that they've been eyewitnesses, both from all the way from Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, so presumably one of John's disciples or one who had followed Jesus to that point already, and then all the way until the ascension into heaven, right? And so that he had heard and listened to Jesus. They proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, surnamed Justus, and Matthias, right? And so they prayed and they cast lots and the lot fell on Matthias. So of course it's Matthias. The Lord certainly can work through through a coin toss, right? No reason why not. Both met the qualifications. Ah, but did they have the word of the Lord to instruct them, right? And as I said at the beginning, here we are again. Even if we operate outside the Lord's command, he still uses that for our benefit one way or another, all right? First, though, to that point about there being 120, Jesus preached for 3 years, and yet there were only 120 who gathered to await the sending of the Holy Spirit. In this world, the church is often tempted to pursue techniques for successful marketing and tempted to measure her success in numbers, even 12. The church is never about marketing or numbers. The church is identified only by her teaching. The church is where the word of God is proclaimed in its truth and purity, and the sacraments are administered according to the institution of Christ. So the place of Judas was to be filled by one who was a witness of the work of Christ, because he would be charged with the proclamation of Christ crucified and risen. Only when they had two candidates who had been examined and met the requirements as witnesses to the work of Christ did they then resort to lots. The disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit, but Peter was driven more by his own senses than by the Holy Spirit. He thought it essential to replace the vacant office, but there was not a clear directive from the Lord to do so. Only later, in the choosing of Saul, Acts 9, was the choice of the Lord made clear. Right, so I agree with that assertion. 12 apostles because there was 12 tribes. Right, that's exactly probably the logic, Chris, that Peter is thinking. Well, there has to be 12 because there have always been 12. You'll note, though, this is actually a really helpful note, that Joseph's two sons were both given a share in the inheritance. So there ends up being 13 shares distributed. So we already see this a bit with Jacob, right? Because both of Joseph's sons receive inheritance, not just one. So in any case, I like the idea that Peter has, but I think we should be clear here that he was not given these orders, right? All right. Let's sing a couple stanzas of our hymn. How about 3 and 4? Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We also pray for parents. Heavenly Father, you have given us the gift of children who are to be brought up in the training and instruction of the gospel of your Son. Give to all Christian fathers and mothers the strength and will to teach the word of God to their children and to see this responsibility as their most important duty. Deliver them from the temptation to abandon the sacred trust. Grant them faithfulness in their calling as parents, that they might love and care for their children, even as you love and care for them in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Pray for children. Heavenly Father, grant your grace in Christ to all Christian children, that they might honor their parents in spite of their failings, and enjoy a long and blessed life according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray today for the preaching of the Holy Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it spread throughout the whole world, for the persecuted and for the sick and dying. We also pray this day in Thanksgiving with Karen, celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday, Karen. We pray for the households of our church, especially that of Dan and Bonnie, Dick and Corey, Wendell, Jerry and Jim, our catechumens, all those who are ill, receiving treatment or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Angie, Dennis, Daniel, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, Carol, Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, Karen, President Willie, and Phil. Pray for our homebound, Dan, Lenore, Joan, Paul, Dolores, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially the mercy work of Lutherans for Life, and also for our rural and small-town congregations seeking to serve in their unique and challenging settings faithfully. And we pray for our dear friend, Gus's brother, Gary, who died in the Lord. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, that's our congregation at prayer for today, Friday, May 10th, 2024. It's good to have you with us. I hope that was a blessing to you. I know it's a little bit challenging, but we do want to recognize that it isn't that the Lord can't bless the decisions that we make, even if we operate by our own will. But I think we want to recognize that Peter is still, well, he'll have to be directed by God the Holy Spirit before he'll act in accord with that will. So we always pray that the Holy Spirit direct us to God's word, and there we find our direction. And sometimes we want to be cautious not to to twist or contort the scriptures to our own purposes too. Regardless, St. Matthias, God bless him and the work that he did for the church. All right, Lord be with you all. Keep you safe. You're welcome for the birthday wishes. We'll see you again in the morning. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.